In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm really delighted to start this Bible study with you. We are going to start with the New Testament, and specifically we'll start with the Gospel of St. Mark, the book of St. Mark. But before studying any verses in the Bible, I would love to tell you some ideas how to start reading the Bible. You know, when you start reading the Bible, remind yourself always that this is the Word of God. So by just thinking this is the Word of God, we need to pray first. By praying, we will ask Him to help us to understand what He's going to tell us. And also by praying, we are ready to accept the message and follow the rules that He is giving us. Also by praying, you know, there is kind of enlightenment will happen in your mind, that you will see the light of the Word of God coming into your heart, by which you can change your life and enjoy a better life with the Lord. After praying, just few words praying before reading the Bible, focus on the verses and do not jump from one verse to the other, from one paragraph to the other. You know, by reading fastly, you may miss many of the meanings that are important to your life. So just try to read slowly and focus on whatever is saying in the Bible. Remind yourself that the Word of God is like the food. It's written in the Bible many times that the food of our spiritual life is the Word of God. So we are eating the Word of God. While you are eating, usually you taste the food and you then digest the food, and the food comes into your body and helps you to be healthier and stronger. So first of all, try to taste the Word of God. By tasting the Word, you may see different tastes of the Word of God. Like in promises, when you read the promises of the Lord, you enjoy this promise and you say, Amen, I believe you, Lord. When you taste the order of the Lord, you may say, okay, Lord, help me to do whatever you say. When the Word of God is about explaining some truth in life, you will tell the Lord, help me to understand more and more and fix my mind on this. So there are many like types of foods in the Word of God. And also by tasting the Word of God, you will love the Word of God more and more, and then you spend more time and you think of the law of the Word of God even after you close your book. You know, also it's written in the Bible that the Word of God is like milk for infants. So being an infant in the spiritual life, you are trying to grow little by little. So we need to start reading the easy books before the deeper ones. So you may start with the Gospels of the New Testament, you may start with the Genesis in the Old Testament, or rather the historical books of the Old Testament, in which you can find the stories. The stories help you to understand who is God and how is He dealing with His creatures, specifically man, and who is man, and what kind of sins man do, and how to overcome sinful life. This all appear clearly in the stories of the Bible. Also, you know, the Word of God is not only like a food, it's also like a sword in your hand. So if you are fighting your bad ideas, you're fighting against your feelings, your lusts, you need some verses to help you. So by reading the Bible carefully, you will get these verses which will help you to overcome whatever sin you are doing or bad thoughts you are fighting against. Also, after praying and focusing on the verses, you may continue praying while reading. So when you read the Bible, just mix praying with reading. You cannot read alone and get everything given by the Holy Spirit. But you need to stay in the under the cover of the Holy Spirit by praying. Also, you know, praying with reading the Bible is the order of our church. If you follow the liturgy or the Agbaya, you can see clearly that our church is always giving up this kind of system we can pray with, that we pray the Psalms and we read part of the Gospel or the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, after which we are praying some words of ourselves. So there are always mixture between the verses in the Bible and our prayers. Also, after reading the Bible, you may digest the Word of God by thinking thoroughly in whatever you had read. So don't finish reading the Bible unless you are coming with a question, what exactly my Lord wants me to do after this. In the stories in the Bible, in the historical books of the Bible, you can use the way of questioning the story. By putting some question, you can put your hand on many good meanings you need in your life. While going in whatever story, like the Samaritan woman, like the prodigal son, like stories of David or Moses in the Old Testament, you can just put the question of why. Why he did so? Why the Lord said so? Why this happened in this way? Or you just put the question of how. How he could make it? How the enemies conquer him? You can put the question of where. Where did this happen? Or when did this accident happen? So by putting the question like why, how, where, when, and what if, these kind of questions will help you to understand the meanings of the Bible and receive the spiritual message specifically for your life. Also, you know, it's a good way to read the Bible that you put some subject you are looking at through the book you are reading. As an example, you can read the Genesis looking after the love of the Lord to human beings and the wise with the wisdom of the Lord. You can read the book of Exodus focusing on the character of Moses. You can read the book of Nehemiah looking after leadership and the Christian management. You can read the book of James in the New Testament looking after the idea of the acts beside faith, actions. So you can read whatever the book in the Bible under some title you are looking after this subject here and there. By doing so, you can get many meanings and go deeper in this subject through the Bible. So I want to give you some of the verses concerning the reading of the Bible from his letter to Hebrews. St. Paul was saying in the chapter 4, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word of God, you know, will come into your mind and also into your heart, even more into your joints. So as if the word of God is speaking to our mind and also affecting our emotions, and moreover it affects our will by moving us forward in the way of God. So believe in the power of the word of God and spend more time with the word of God. You will feel the real change, the spiritual change. You know, also when the Lord was speaking to Ezekiel in the Old Testament in chapters 3, then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll." You know, the word of God in the old days was made of scrolls. "Eat this scroll and go and speak to the children of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he fed me. He opened his mouth and the Lord put the scroll inside his mouth. Then he said to me, "Son of man, your mouth shall eat and your stomach will be filled with this scroll. So it's kind of digestion. Your stomach will be filled with this scroll that is given you. So I ate it, and it was to in my mouth as sweet as honey. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So this adds to the subject that before telling anybody about the words of God, you should enjoy it yourself. You should feed yourself before feeding others. That's why it comes in the Bible also, like the nursing mother. You know, the nursing mother, she should eat good so her milk is strong enough to feed her child. Also, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, long ago written by Moses, 1,500 years before Christ, it was saying, these are the ordinance and the judgment the Lord commanded the children of Israel in the desert when they came from the land of Egypt. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart, from your whole soul, from your whole power. So these words I command you today shall be in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So we are supposed to tell the word of God to our children and keep teaching the word of God to whoever living with us. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you ride up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and it shall be immovable before your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. So if you read carefully these verses, you will find out that the Lord wants us to focus on His Word all the time. We are not only reading, but eating the Word of God. We are using the Word of God in our usual speech. We are telling the Word of God and delivering the message to our children while walking, while sitting, while lying down, while getting up. We are always thinking of His Word. Now let's start with the Gospel of St. Mark. You know, the Gospel of St. Mark is considered the oldest of the Gospels, the earliest, that St. Mark wrote his Gospel before St. Matthew and St. Luke and St. John. And also it's important to remind ourselves that Mark was not one of the 12, but rather one of the 70 disciples or apostles. Also, St. Mark was the one who came to our land Egypt, and he preached the word of God, and our church is following St. Mark. So we love St. Mark and we love his gospel. Also, St. Mark wrote his gospel mainly to the Romans. The Roman Empire was in charge of the whole world at that time. You know, Romans are strong and believe in authority and strength and power, so they need such God is powerful and strong. That's why St. Mark was focusing in his book to tell us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the real God, the strong one, the full authority one. Also, St. Mark did not write much about the teachings of the Lord. He was not giving us many of the sermons of our Lord, like St. Matthew or Luke or John, but he was focusing on his actions, because St. Mark was dealing with the Roman culture. The Roman mind believes more in actions much more than words. That's why the Gospel of St. Mark, you can find it full of miracles and actions of the Lord, but with very little mentioning of the sermons of the Lord. Also, St. Mark delivered the message that the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of Man and Son of God. And while focusing on being Son of God, making miracles and powerful over everything, in the first few chapters, ending the gospel with the Son of Man going into the agony of the cross and having many tough times with the Jews and ending on the cross and dying and having such time. So reading the Gospel of St. Mark usually is the easiest one to read, and we can start reading the New Testament from St. Mark. Also, St. Mark wrote his book most probably before the 60s of the first century. So that's why we consider the book of Mark is the earliest one of the Gospels, and some scholars believe that he is the one who wrote the first book in the whole New Testament. Let's go reading now the first chapter of St. Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. If you see the start of the Gospel of St. Mark, you can easily notice that he did not mention the story of his birth, the story of his mother, the story of the coming of Archangel Gabriel, but he just started with the service of our Lord. He jumped to his action stage, which was with the 30th year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, you know, can go easily with the mind of Romans, those who did not like the story of children and mothers, and they do not focus on these things. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The word Gospel actually means the good news. So the book or the Gospel of St. Mark, that means the story, the good story, the nice, joyful story of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he made it clear from the start of the Gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a man, but he is the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets. You know, although Romans do not know what's written in the Old Testament, but they know that the books in the Old Testament are the reference for those Jews to start with. And they, before coming of the Lord to our earth, the Old Testament was translated into Greek language like more than 200 years before Christ. So any of the Romans can go through the Old Testament and check the prophets and see the prophecies after the Lord. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. That was written by Isaiah long ago. Isaiah was like 800 years before Christ. So he could see John the Baptist coming before Christ and preparing the road or the way before his face. So it's written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You know, John the Baptist was considered the best of the prophets, and according to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is rather his friend or the greatest of mother's siblings. So, you know, John the Baptist is considered as an icon for any servant who tries to make this verse clear in action. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. By preparing the way for the Lord means that we help the hearts of human beings to repent and to think clearly of the Lord and to obey his commandments, and this is the way we prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. You know, people rather think of going into the deviated path and going here and there, But you know, the orthodox way, the straight path, is the only path to the kingdom of God. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You can see that Saint Mark was putting like truth into sentences or verses very clear. The mission of Saint John was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So John knew his mission, and Saint Mark put it clearly before us that his mission was only for repentance. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So you know, the act of baptism is older than the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. The act of baptism on the hands of John the Baptist was only to declare the repentance. It was not like a sacrament of our church nowadays, but it's only kind of declaration that this man is remitting his sins or changing his life and going back to the Lord and following his commandments. So by immersing this man into the water and coming out of the water as a new man, but only a sign of repentance. We're all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist. You know, John the Baptist was living like the monks living in the, not only in the monasteries, but in the mountains and the caves. So he was living a very much sacred life, eating very little and wearing just camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. By putting this kind of clothes on him, he was rather looking like Elijah of the Old Testament. And it was written in the Old Testament that Elijah should come as a forerunner before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this applies on John the Baptist. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose." He was telling the people around him that he is not the Lord, he is not the Messiah, but he is only the forerunner, he is only the messenger before him. So he said to the people, I'm not he, but I'm just the one who cannot be even as his servant. Look to this, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. This, you know, meaning that he is rather a man, but the coming Messiah is not only a man, he is the Lord, he is the real God. That's why he couldn't even stoop down or loose his sandal strap. By saying so, mean that nobody can get the last of the meanings of the how could the divine nature come into human life, the meaning of incarnation. Nobody can understand the whole secret of this incarnation. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This another revelation given by Saint John, that he is only doing the baptism as a sign of repentance, but the coming Lord will give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the real power of real change in our life and a good and better life with the Lord. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. We knew now from St. Matthew and St. Luke that the Lord spent his childhood and early days in Nadaras. And Nadaras was north part of Palestine at that time, and it's, you know, kind of villages and poor life, and he was working as a carpenter, following the steps of Joseph. So he was just like a village man, and nobody of the rich people can give good care for him. Was baptized by John in the Jordan. Here come the common questions. Why? Why our Lord get baptism, although he is the Lord and he is not only Son of Man but Son of God? You know, according to what the Lord said, that he should do whatever right given to men to do, he should do it. So our Lord get baptized just to change the meaning of baptism from only a sign of repentance to a real change in life, to the to his image, to the real better life given in the New Testament. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So with the first chapter of St. Mark, you can find out that he declared the truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and also the truth of Trinity. He, the Father, is saying from the heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And also the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove on his head. So by declaration of the sacrament of baptism, the truth of Trinity, the truth of incarnation, we can now know exactly the way St. Mark delivering the message to the people around. Next time we will go more with St. Mark in his story. Glory to God. Amen.